This episode of HPC Wire Soundbite is sponsored by Cray. The new Cray XC30 supercomputer, powered by Intel Xeon processors, delivers on the Cray commitment to adaptive supercomputing, providing scalability across the HPC performance spectrum. For more information, visit www.cray.com/ownXC30.
This is HPC Wire Soundbite, your weekly source of commentary and insight on the HPC stories shaping the industry, with Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and Addison Snell, CEO of Intersect 360 Research. And now, here are your hosts, Michael Feldman and Addison Snell.
BP preps for petascale machine, and HPC peers over the fiscal cliff. Good morning for HPC Wire Soundbite for December 14th, 2012, available every Friday on iTunes and Stitcher. I'm Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and I'm joined once again by Addison Snell, CEO of Intersect 360 Research. Hey, good morning, Addison.
Good morning, Michael.
Well, here we are at the end of the year, almost the end of the year. Here's our last soundbite for the year, but we saw some kind of interesting news this week.
Last podcast for the year. We'll be back with a year-in-review wrap-up the first week in January. But, yeah, a couple of news items still sneaking in, starting with some stuff around the oil and gas industry.
Yeah, BP, the British multinational, they announced this week they're going to build and install a 2-petaflop system in a new data center they're building out there in Houston. Will be the biggest commercial system out there. Now, we're not sure that's true anymore. There's been some others that have been talked about, but 2-petaflops, right. That's a nice size system.
Right. Now, there is some ambiguity around that. Total, of course, earlier this year, another oil company ordered a 2.3 peak petaflop system from SGI. Right. There was no separate release saying that that was or when it was installed, but we can assume it might have been installed by now. Now, that was peak petaflops. BP said in its announcement that it was capable of performing 2 petaflops, so we don't know if they mean that that's a peak rate or if that's a actual measured throughput goal for this system.
Right, and they said BP said they're going to have a 67,000 CPU system, and that if that number's true, that would hold out to be a much larger system peak wise. But they haven't announced their vendor or even much about the configuration there, other than the size of the storage and such on. But it is a very large system, and we don't, like you said, we don't know if that Total system is even in production right now. They certainly didn't run Limpac for top 500. It didn't show up anywhere, but it certainly might be out there running as we speak.
That's right. Well, now, as we know they are installing it, and they're building a new facility to house this right next door to their existing part of their existing campus, next door to their existing HPC building where all the geoscientists work, and they'll be able to continue that very close collaboration. And as luck would have it, I was in Houston this week, was able to go visit BP and have a sit down with Keith Gray, who I've always had a good relationship with going back several years now, and he got to take me up to the top of one building where we got to look down on the site where the steel and the concrete had all just been poured. It's going to be a big site over there.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds like a really large facility. It's 110,000 square feet. That's that's on the order of what a national lab would be for some of their petascale systems or for some of their computers. That's the national lab level.
Yeah, and it is, as I said, a lot of steel and concrete. Keith told me that they're prepared for 1,000 pounds per square foot, which is beyond what even the heaviest liquid cooled racks are getting to today. Although they are pretty heavy. I mean, you need to be able to hold a lot of weight if you're preparing for a new data center like that today.
Yeah, certainly, and this petaflop or this petascale system is not going to be the only system there. This could be multiple systems. Obviously, 110,000 square feet, you're going to be housing different systems. Right now, they have the smaller data center that they couldn't house this larger system. It's already at
right.
one point something petaflops for multiple clusters they've got there now.
Well, and, you know, they've still got to plan out some of the fine points about things like moving all the data across, even though it's only next door. Do you want to lay down dedicated, dark fiber and start moving all the data across that? Or do you want to unplug tape systems and wheel them across, which is very high bandwidth, high latency, but maybe the most efficient way to do it?
Yeah, well, we'll probably, mothball some of those older systems they've got as it goes along. I mean, this new one sounds like they're going to be running.
But not the data. You got to get the data across.
Right, the data systems. I mean, they're going to have storage. I think it was like 23 petaflop storage
systems.
Petabyte system on this new machine. So some of the data is going to be there locally. But right, they've got their data stores on some of the older machines now. So.
And that's 23 petabytes today. If you're going to be opening a new data center, you want to be planning more than a year or two in the future. And, you know, Keith talks about his history at BP and what they've done since the late 90s, the increase in data, the increase in computation. And, you know, if you're going to plan a new site to go out another 10 or 20 years, it better be prepared to handle an awful lot of data.
Right, and I think they talked about this. I mean, supercomputing has transformed the oil and gas exploration industry over the last 10 years. I mean, 10 years ago, there was relatively little power to do some of the things they're doing today. I mean, of course, we all know about Moore's Law and then some with supercomputing because they've scaled out these things. But now they've got a lot more capability now than they've ever had. And they've been able to, uncover some big finds that people didn't know about at all, even 5 or 10 years ago. And I know people talked about peak oil and things. Well, we've tapped out into most of the reserves. We're not going to be able to find anything else. But they've actually been able to do that now with some of this technology.
Yeah, they get better understanding of the how the reservoirs are set up. They get better understanding of how they're going to extract the oil. And, you like to think that where we are now will even seem primitive by standards that we'll set a decade or two from now in terms of the increasing fidelity of how you understand these oil reserves.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like the technology is going to be at a point where they're going to be able to find every drop of oil on the earth. I don't know if that's necessarily a good thing considering, the downside of burning all this carbon, but certainly it'll be available with the way it's going.
Well, not that you don't want to keep looking at alternative energy sources, but for the time being, we're an oil-driven society, and we need to, we need it. So let's get it out more efficiently, absolutely. Now, I was in Houston, of course, because not just for this announcement, but I gave a keynote address for the meeting of the Society of HPC Professionals, which is hosted at Schlumberger, which is also in Houston, and draws a heavy oil and gas crowd, although the SHPCP is really open to all commercial users of HPC. You get a few manufacturers and other types of people in there. It was a good event. They probably had about 100 people in the room. Some of the old oil and gas crowd run it, Ebb Pye and Gary Krause. It's always happy to see some of those familiar faces, but also reach out to some of the more local corporations and talk about what HPC can do for them.
Well, Houston's a great venue for that crowd, certainly, and I know the oil and gas industry has a few of these conferences throughout the year, and they talk about these things, so that must have been a good group to be with.
Well, yeah, there's a question of, ongoing, what's going to be the role of this society meeting versus, say, the Rice Oil and Gas Workshop, which comes back around in February, and I might plan to attend that one as well.
Okay, well, let's take a quick break. We're going to come back and talk about fiscal cliff stuff.
Yeah, the looming fiscal cliff. Let's dig in. We got, 2 weeks to go before we all – of course, the world will come to an end before then on the Mayan calendar anyway, so I don't know what all the hubbub's about.
Okay, yeah, we're off the hook then. All right, we'll come back in just a moment.
The XC30 series has been designed with a holistic approach to optimize the entire system to deliver sustained real-world performance and scalability across all hardware, networking, and software. The Cray XC30 series leverages the combined advantages of next-generation Aries Interconnect, a flexible new network topology, Intel Xeon processors, integrated storage solutions, and major software environment enhancements. For more information, visit www.cray.com/ownxc30.
All right, so we're back. We're talking about the fiscal cliff here, assuming we all live past the end of the Mayan calendar. We've got this fiscal catastrophe to contend with in the U.S. What's the effect here?
Well, of course, you know, if you've been reading the newspapers or listening to any TV, I'm sure in the U.S. certainly you've heard of this. I mean, this law that's going to expire with the Bush-era tax cuts, and they wrote it in so that in 2013, January 1st, the tax cuts would expire, and we would also get across-the-board cuts in spending across all the government agencies at the federal level. So this is going to happen. Right. Unless the Congress and the President decide on something to avert some of these sort of automatic cuts.
Right. This was written in as sort of a doomsday device. If you don't come to a new agreement by such and such a date, these are all the things that are going to kick in automatically that both sides are going to hate.
Right, right. This was in the last set of budget negotiations that the Obama administration and Congress came together. But the tax cuts itself, those were automatic. Those were basically in there from the Bush era to balance that part of the budget. They couldn't do it otherwise. So it's all sort of coming together. It's a perfect storm, or if you want to call it that. But they've got just 2 weeks to figure this out, and it's going to affect everybody, including our nice little community.
Now, if in that way, though, fiscal cliff might be a bit of a misnomer. It's not like everything happens right. I mean, things start to take effect January 1st, January 2nd, but we could see a deal that creeps in beyond the end of the year in January or February.
Right. I mean, people would panic. I mean, especially on the tax side. I mean, all of a sudden everybody's taxes would go up, but they, you know, Congress would rush in and do something perhaps. But the money will dry up, though. I mean, for some of these things that we're talking about with, you know, researchers, NSF researchers and grants, the money won't be there, and they're going to have to make some decisions. And all of a sudden they're living hand to mouth as it is on some of these continuing budget resolutions. They might actually have to start letting people go and closing down projects, at least for the time being.
Yeah, that's where you do see an immediate effect. If you get across the board cuts that affect NSF, NIH, DOE, DOD, and you've got people who are relying on grants not only to buy computers but to pay themselves, then, you know, if you're a doctor who specializes in research going on grants and you're not seeing the grant there, well, then you're going to be forced to leave the university and go into private practice, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I would be less worried about the infrastructure. I mean, those are on longer timelines. I mean, if you're planning on a computer, a supercomputer or a cluster for, you know, 2013, you can just delay that. But, once you cut off the flow of money and people's the cash flow, you've got to start thinking about the people infrastructure.
And when you've got discretionary money and you have the choice of, I can save people with it and pay, you know, for those grants if I trade off infrastructure, then you might again delay infrastructure costs if it meant that you can keep the people at your center.
Exactly. I mean, the longest term effect, if this really happened, I don't think it's going to happen in the long term, but all of a sudden you'd have people leaving the industry, you know, looking for other work, and we're talking about tens of thousands of people that would basically be exiting from the STEM fields, and that means in the future you wouldn't have those teachers and that expertise anymore, and then there's those long-term effects to the industry and the economy in general.
Sure. I mean, you could be looking at another recessionary period driven by unemployment or underemployment of people who aren't finding their grants. That's, I think, one of the big concerns with the fiscal cliff analysis. Now, in terms of HPC and what it means for system and storage and infrastructure sales and things like that, we've already been seeing that the public sector is lagging behind the private sector in HPC in North America and worldwide. We've had Europe with its own problems. We've had Asia Pacific with its own problems. Public sector spending, it hasn't been negative, but it certainly hasn't been growing like you'd like it to see.
Yeah, especially when you compare it to the private economy, at least in the U.S., which is sort of booming now in a sense. I mean, the public sector is pretty weak right now, and you wonder how long that's going to go on for the next year or so, because there doesn't seem to be much appetite for spending. Even if they come to some agreement, it's going to be one where they're going to be cutting spending across some of these agencies that I think we're interested in. so that it's not just the avoidance of the fiscal cliff, it's how the money and the budgets are going to be allocated in the year or two ahead.
Yep. Well, and then in terms of how it affects corporate spending, I've actually heard both sides of the argument, because you talk about higher corporate tax rates. And the one side of the argument will be, well, higher taxes means I'm going to spend less money because I have fewer profits to distribute on projects. The flip side of the argument is that I'd rather increase the amount of money I'm spending, and because I'm going to reduce the profit line, which I'm going to get taxed more heavily on, I'd rather spend it and get the full volume out of full value out of it, as opposed to saving it and getting taxed higher on it.
Yeah. Well, it'll all depend upon that agreement. I mean, they're talking about, you know, tax exemptions too. They could change the landscape there, and all of a sudden the motivations are going to be different. But I guess we'll find out either the next 2 weeks, or I guess from my point of view, probably more likely early in the new year when people get a little more exercised about what's going to happen.
I'm asking for a fiscal parachute for Christmas.
That's a good gift. All right. Well, we'll wrap that up for the year, and we'll come back, like you said, first week of the new year, and we'll start talking about the year past and then look ahead a little bit.
All right. Thanks a lot, Michael. I'll talk to you again next year.
Happy New Year, Addison.
Happy holidays to you.
This episode of HPC Wire Soundbite has been sponsored by Cray. The new Cray XE30 supercomputer, powered by Intel Xeon processors, delivers on the Cray commitment to adaptive supercomputing, providing scalability across the HPC performance spectrum. For more information, visit www.cray.com/ownXE30.
You've been listening to HPC Wire Soundbite with Michael Feldman and Addison Snell. Got a question or comment for Michael or Addison? Email soundbite@hpcwire.com. HPC Wire Soundbite is available every Friday afternoon from iTunes or at hpcwire.com. HPC Wire, the leading source for global news and information covering the ecosystem of high productivity computing.